Even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto you. You are now completely independent to act however you like. If you like, you can kill me. And if you like, you can save me. In any case, I am your eternal servant, and you have every right to do whatever you like. Yenahamatma yatanam vinirmita datra yato yam gunasarga sangraha sa eva mam hantu mudayuda swarad upastitonyam sharanam kamashaye. The planet Earth continued, my dear Lord, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities, and therefore you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet you are always fully independent, my Lord. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter and tell me who can give me protection. We're in a very fragile condition. Whether we acknowledge it or realize it or not, we're like a drop of water on the lotus flower, on the lily leaf. Early in the morning, you see the morning dew, drips or beads of water on the lily leaves. And they look to be resting there very peacefully. But then a breeze of air comes along and all the beads of water slide down into the lake or the pond. So therefore it's stated, Kamala Dalla Jala Jivana Dalla Mala Bajuhu Haripada Nitire. We are also, at any moment we could be kicked out from this material body. We are always shocked to read of some accident where a plane crashes and 300 people are killed, or where an explosion takes place and 50 people are killed, or 25 miners are trapped in a mine, or there's a war and 100,000 people are killed, or 1 million people are killed. And we never think that there, but by the grace of God, go I. The same thing could happen to any one of us by the grace of the Lord. And therefore, a devotee is advised to think that tomorrow could be my last day. Often people say, I will take up religious life, spiritual life, when I'm old. Now I am young. Let me enjoy my youth in the pursuit of sense gratification. Then when I'm an old man, old woman, then I will take up spiritual life. But if you die tomorrow, you are old man today. So a devotee should think like that, that at any moment I may be kicked out. Maharaj Parikshit is the ideal example of a devotee. He came to understand that he had 7 days to live, so he immediately retired from his life as a king, the supreme administrator, actually not only a king, he was emperor, he was the king of kings, he had so much responsibility. But he learned that I have a very limited time, and therefore he renounced the world and went to the bank of the Ganges and heard from the greatest sages at that time as to what was his ultimate duty at the time of death. And of course, he was rightly advised by Sukadeva Goswami that your ultimate duty is to think of God at the time of death. We discussed this yesterday. yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. Whatever your thoughts at the time of death, that is going to determine your next body, your next life. In fact, that moment of departure is so important that even by accident, or even by some inconceivable good fortune, you call out the name of your son. Narayan, as a Jamil, he was not particularly pious. In fact, the latter part of his life was spent in the worst way, stealing and killing and raping and living a completely sinful life. But somehow or other, at the last moment, he called out Narayana, and ultimately he was saved. So this last moment, the last meditation, the last desire, that is so important. And generally, not everybody is lucky like Ajamil. Generally, according to how we live in this life, that will mold our thoughts at the time of death. So therefore, one is advised to engage in activities during his life so that at the last moment it will be more easy, or relatively easy, to remember God. It is never easy, because at the time of death, everything is taken away. You can't think of a more traumatic situation than the time of death. In this life, we have many traumas. We have good times and we have bad times. We're put into anxiety, we're put into distress. Everyone, not just you, but everyone. Right from the top man, President Bill, down to the most insignificant bum on the Bowery. Everybody has good times and bad times. We all get our share. But the time of death is the greatest trauma, and it is the most prominent of eight kinds of fear that the living entity experiences. The fear of death is the most difficult. So, therefore, it behooves us to adjust our lives in such a way that we will be ready to surrender to Krishna at the time of death. And the example has been set by, in this case, Mother Bhumi, the goddess presiding deity of this earth planet. Of course, at one stage, one could say that she was something rebellious, but when she realized that she was facing the wrath of the Lord and that there was no circumventing his power, then she immediately surrendered. And we've seen this before, even Brahma, he tried to manifest his mystic power before Lord Krishna by stealing the cows and cowherd boys. He thought, I will teach this Krishna a lesson. I will show him who is magical, who is wonderful. But then when he realized that his magic was nothing in front of the Lord, he immediately came down and offered his obeisances and prayers and begged forgiveness. The same thing happened to Indra, the king of all the demigods, great personalities who live for, by our calculation, they live hundreds of thousands, even millions of years. And they have such mystic powers. They don't have gross bodies as we do. In the heavenly planets, Lord Indra enjoys such opulence and power and influence. He doesn't get old until the very last year of his existence. And there's no pregnancy until the very end, so he can enjoy unrestricted illicit sex with any number of women without fear of unwanted pregnancy. So they have all the facilities. They drink soma ras, whereby they get intoxicated, but they don't get hangovers. In fact, it increases their consciousness. Something like LSD without all the paranoia. I can't. But this soma ras, even their enjoyment, everything about the heavenly planets is so superior. And Indra becomes very puffed up, and he thought, this Krishna is interfering with Indra Puja being performed by Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan. I cannot tolerate this. I will teach these people a lesson. And he sent his Samvartaka, cloud, one great demon that was under his control. So he sent the Samvartaka cloud to inundate the whole of Vrindavan. And for a while it seemed like he was showing the people, everyone became very frightened. The whole of Vrindavan became overflooded with all the rains, the torrential rains. But then Krishna just lifted up a mountain and with his little finger, he didn't even use both hands. And just casually, a young boy lifted up an entire mountain with his little finger, and Indra realized that I have committed a great faux pas, a great mistake. And he again offered his obeisances. So a devotee, either by his good intelligence, by getting good advice, or even by experience, he will realize that you cannot challenge City Hall, and you cannot challenge the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a saying, you can't fight City Hall. Well, you can fight City Hall, but you can't fight Krishna. Because he's the supreme controller. And you just won't win. In the end, Krishna will catch you in his form of time. Mrityu sarva harascham. I'm all devouring that death. Kalosmi bharatasham. Time I am, the destroyer of worlds, and I come to engage all beings. So you cannot fight with Krishna. You have to surrender with Krishna and go with his flow. You can't create your own flow. You have to go with Krishna. And Krishna will give you whatever you need. Krishna will give you yoga, kshema, vahamyaham. He won't take from you. If you surrender to him, then naturally you're on his side. Just like the challenge, you know. There's a joke sometimes, you know, you challenge someone. Oh yeah? You want to fight? Just step across this line. So then the guy steps across the line and they say, huh, now you're on my side. So when you surrender to Krishna, you're on his side. Why should he fight you? Why should he allow you? He won't allow you to be buffeted by Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmiklesha. These things will come, whatever your karma was destined, you will get a portion of that, certainly. You'll have some good days in devotional service and some tough days in devotional service. Nobody said it was all peaches and cream, but you will be able to handle it. Krishna will guide you. Krishna will give you the intelligence how to live a superior life and remain peaceful and satisfied, to remain jolly, to remain upbeat, to remain enthusiastic. Krishna will guide you. But you have to take the initial step and propose to surrender to Krishna, to beg Krishna for shelter. You have to approach the Lord and pray for his mercy and commit yourself to his devotional service lifetime after lifetime. Come what may, I am yours. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhaktira hoitukitvai. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want sundarim. I don't want any number of women. I'm like any conditioned soul. I'm conditioned. My past conditioning is there. But I don't want these things. My body, my spirit is very willing. My body, my flesh is weak. So I'm requesting you, Lord, you cut away the ulcerous gangrene of my mind and senses. You cut away these material desires. You cut away my attachment. I want to surrender to you. I want to be your devotee. I'm submitting myself to the process of sadhana bhakti so that I can become your devotee. And I know it will be a struggle initially. Yat tad agre vishamiva. It may even be poison to me because I'm not accustomed to this. But pariname mrtopamam. I expect that gradually as I become settled in devotional service, it will become like nectar which I have not experienced before. There is no comparison between spiritual and material happiness. There's no comparison between anandam, buddhivardhanam, and sukh and dukh. Ever-increasing bliss as opposed to happiness and distress. Up and down, beginning and end, black and white, pain and pleasure. That's material happiness. Just one side of the coin and then the other. But ananda means ever-increasing ocean of nectar. The installments may be gradual. The increments of nectar that you taste may be according to your surrender. Yayita mam prapadyante. But the happiness is so much deeper, so much greater, so much better. And this is borne out by the fact that any devotees who have achieved even a little bit of the nectar that emanates from Krishna's lotus feet, they can't forget it in their lives. Even they sometimes, due to weakness, fall down. But they always come back because they remember that ecstasy again and again, and they can't find anything in the material world that compares with it. We may be stubborn. We may be belligerent. We may be foolish. So in the visha, in the poison stage, in the beginning, agre, in the beginning, we may hesitate. But if one pursues with enthusiasm and patience, then that amrit, purnamritas vadanam, purnamrit, the complete nectar which we hanker after, will be ours. But we have to make the initial step to take the trouble to surrender to Krishna, to declare ourselves manasa deho geho yogichumora arpilo tuat pade nanda kishore. Mother Bhumi, she recognizes there is no other shelter in the whole existence, and therefore she's begging the Lord to give her protection, and Krishna will protect her. So, any comments? Yes. Well, they made dikes and they had an electric dynamo and they were pumping water out. I don't know why the water didn't come in. I guess they were on high ground. They had a drainage system. I don't know.
Explain that Krishna sent his dirt trucker around the hill.
Oh, you read something like that. Where'd you read that? Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra to create a shower curtain around Govardhan Hill. So the water didn't get, sometimes shower curtains don't work though. And anyway, Sudarshan Chakra kept the water. When you actually, if you see the movie, the wind was blowing the rain sideways, so a mountain would not be exactly enough to protect the residents. So there was some other, in this case, we'll take it on the word of Govinda, the Vishnu Chakravarti. Where does he state that? Okay, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami says that Vishnu Chakravarti says somewhere that the chakra, Sudarshan Chakra, created a shield to block out the torrential rains that were pushed by the wind. I think in any case, you know, Indra would have become pretty amazed by the fact that this little boy lifted up a mountain with his finger. But, of course, Krishna's miracles, Krishna's activities are always perfect. When Krishna, actually this verse is discussed here, Rake Krishna, Marike, Mari Krishna, Rake Ke. When Krishna wants to protect you, then no demon can figure out any loopholes. Sometimes when you fight, like the Titanic was supposed to be an unsinkable ship, but it went down. And the German juggernaut, the German army was so powerful that the Allies really had no chance to crack their defenses. And even at D-Day, it was a very difficult struggle. But by Krishna's arrangement, they found a way to trick the Germans, thinking that they were going to attack at Normandy in France rather than where they did finally land. And, you know, there's always some way out in the material world, but when it comes to Krishna, his intelligence is absolute, and his protection is perfect. And if Krishna wants to kill you, conversely, there's no way you can protect yourself. All you can do is surrender. And if you don't surrender, then you're gonna be killed by Krishna. So, what's that verse? I love that verse and I can't think of it. Sweet verse about Lord Krishna, and even though the parents think that they are protecting their children, they can't, and it has to do with Nrisinga from the Bhagavatam. I have to find that verse. Very nice verse that, you know, states that ultimately Krishna is the only protection. Even though we think that we're making arrangements to protect, it says even a man in a very safe boat, or children protected by their parents, or no secure position except for devotional service. It's the only resting place. Narayana, the word Narayana means resting place also. Grantharaj.